Hey everyone, it's Friday, December 4th, 2020. Welcome to episode 43 of the Ginger and the Beard podcast. I'm AJ, aka the Ginger.
And I'm Reese, aka the Beard.
And on this week's show, we'll be drinking and reviewing two different Imperial Stouts, talking about TJ Dillashaw's return to the UFC, and how UFC marijuana regulations could be impacted by federal legislation.
We'll also be giving our thoughts on the recent NVIDIA RTX 3060 Ti launch, a new VR pen for creative professionals, and whether or not PAX will be a live event in 2021.
Very interesting. But before we get started, I want to remind you to subscribe on YouTube, follow us on Spotify, and if you really want to help us grow, be sure to tell a friend to check us out.
Absolutely, yes. And make sure to check out the YouTube chapters or the timestamps in the description if you'd like to skip around to your favorite topics. All right, man, we have a lot to cover, so let's get into this. How was your week, sir?
That's good, man. It's been a long time. I feel like that was a rusty intro for me. Sorry, guys. Let's just be honest here.
Yeah,
that was take number two, and it was still kind of rough. But anyways, we're back after a little bit of a break. We didn't have an episode this past Friday. Obviously, it was Black Friday, post Turkey Day. I was still in a food coma at the time of our normally scheduled recording. And then Tuesday we took a little break as well because we had been on a tear there for a minute with some guest episodes. I recommend you guys check those out for sure. But we just needed a little bit of time to recalibrate, and we're back in the saddle, man. So I'm excited. It was a busy week, but I'm excited to be here and talking to the folks out there, and afterwards playing some video games and all that good stuff. But yeah man, holidays were good. Thanksgiving was awesome. It's good to see family. A little bit different than usual, obviously, but after we got back, we got our Christmas tree set up. I got that all decorated. The house is decorated. Lights are on the outside. Trying to get into the holiday spirit. You can see my little Christmas tree still lit up here in the background.
Nice.
So it's been good, man. How about you?
Man, it's been really nice. Kind of the same thing. Yeah, dude, it's been a while. It has. I agree. The different stuff that we've been doing has been really a lot of fun. Kind of took us out of our like normal swing of things, and then the holidays coming up. So yeah, man, I'm right there with you, just trying to get back into it. We got a couple of Halloween decorations up as well. I think I showed you
Halloween.
I'm sorry, Christmas. See, I'm losing it, man. It's been a long week. I'm just happy it's Friday. Work's over. I worked up until like 2 hours ago. So, yeah. Did I show you the Christmas decoration that we put up? Yeah.
Was it 9 feet tall?
Dude, basically, it's 8.5, but basically 9. Yeah. An AT-AT reindeer is out in the front yard. It's 9 foot tall, big and awesome looking. Everybody that walks by us while we're outside, they're like, oh, so cool, you know. Yeah. It's like, yeah, thank you.
Stop and take a selfie in front of it.
Actually, yeah, one person did. Pretty cool. But yeah, besides that, I don't know, things have been good. You know, Thanksgiving was different. First time not going back to see the folks at home for me, so that was interesting, but still had a good time with my wife's family. And then, yeah, this week's just been going by pretty fast. I ended up making a Black Friday purchase.
Check that out.
I have the Razer Naga Pro here with all three of the different side plates that it comes with. And I even bought the charging stand. I'm not going to pick it up, but I can just slap that sucker down right there. So, yeah, man.
Man, nice, dude.
Just got it yesterday. Played with it last night. Going to play with it some more tonight. Pretty awesome. So, yeah, really happy about that.
How do you feel about wireless?
Yeah, so I played some PvP last night. And, my DPI, everything is all the same. The mouse is actually a little bit heavier than my other mouse. But the pads on this, like, for some reason, yeah, it's heavier, but it glides.
Yeah.
Like, there's no grip on it, right? So my aim's all fucked up right now. I'm still getting kills, but it's a struggle, man. I'm not usually I can track people pretty good and get the headshots if I need them. And right now it's like, oh, go that way. Now back this way. you know, so I'm all over the place, but I'm really happy to have it. And I'm sure I'll, you know, I'll get the muscle memory soon enough. But
that's awesome.
Yeah, man, it sounds like we both had some busy weeks, and I'm just happy it's Friday. Happy to be here. So
amen to that, man.
Dude, you ready to drink some beer and talk about some stuff?
I'm so ready to drink some beer.
All right, man, let's get into it then.
Yes, so no poll again this week. You know, the polls, they happen now and again still, so don't give up hope on the polls. Make sure you check us out on Thursdays and see if we get one up. But this week, ironically, not by planning, no planning whatsoever, both of us have Imperial Stouts to drink, and I'm pretty excited about it. So what I've got here for you guys is a Sticky Buns. Yes, I said Sticky Buns. Make of that what you will. I would just picture a delicious sweet dessert, because that's what the vibes this label gives off. It gives off sort of a cinnamon roll sort of vibe, nice caramely sort of swirl design to it. Make sure you check out the YouTube video to see for yourself. But this comes from Commonwealth Brewery here in Virginia Beach. Commonwealth makes some delicious beers. I would say, you know, on the higher end of things in terms of like quality, and also a little bit more expensive than what you'd find at a lot of local breweries. But this one, well worth the cost. I actually had a gift card from my wife from last year that I finally used last Christmas. Finally used and picked up a 4-pack of this. And I have tried this. This is not a blind testing like usual. I have had a couple of these now. But yeah, it's an Imperial Stout brewed with cinnamon, brown sugar, pecans, and cacao nibs. So lots of interesting flavors in this one.
Cacao.
Cacao. So let's go ahead and crack this bad boy open. Get some ASMR here.
Whoa.
Oh, yeah.
We should just use that as our transition sound. Like, that go. Was that was the perfect sound right there.
Yeah, we just make our own transition sounds, though. Yeah. You guys know this is going to be dark. Imperial Stout, it's as dark and black and thick and heavy as it gets. So let's give this guy a pour.
Damn. It looks like oil.
Oh, yeah. In the signature ginger in the beer glass. Black as night.
Oh, my
super
gosh.
Thick. Nice, consistent head there at the top. Very slow rising. But it dissipates quite quickly, just in my experience.
That's roasted malt in there.
Oh, yeah. We've learned lots about how they get this color and this flavor, which we'll get into here in a second. But yeah, so again, Imperial Stout, cinnamon, brown sugar, pecans, and cacao nibs. It's 12.2%. This is a big boy. So I'll be sipping this lightly throughout the episode, so that way I don't fade halfway through. But, you know, overall, the look, again, it's as opaque as it can be. Very nice, caramely, sort of deep brown. The smell, the nose, very sweet. So we learned about those malts from our guy Sebastian at Epiphany Malts. Definitely a very heavily malted brews. You know, Imperial Stouts are known for that. Obviously, with the 12.2% alcohol content, you kind of pick up on some of that little bit of the hint of that alcohol sort of on the nose. But just you know, heavy. I think the brown sugar is quite prominent in this one because it's very sweet. I don't pick up a lot on the pecans. We need to have a poll. How do you say pecan or pecan? But let's go ahead and give this a sip.
Pecan. Just call it a pecan. It's a pecan.
So good. So again, I've had this one before. The thing that stands out to me the most after I've drank a couple of these is just the sweetness. And you just get hit straight up front with the sweetness. Definitely a little bit bitter. You know, obviously, like we said, the roasted malts, the chocolate, quote unquote, chocolate malts that they, you know, how they roast them specifically to get that dark color and that bitter sort of taste flavor profile. There is a little bit of bitterness to it, but very creamy and rich. Like it's, you know, we described last week. I don't remember what beer we had last episode, but you described it as like a dark chocolate. That's kind of the vibe I get from this. Even though they don't advertise it. I mean, the cacao nibs also obviously lend itself to that flavor as well. But very smooth. I mean, it's just smooth all the way through. you get a little bit of that burn at 12%. You can expect that a little bit of that burn kind of going down, lingering around a little bit from that alcohol content. But it's a very easy drinker for, you know, somebody who might be turned off or turned away by that 12%. You know, I would say still give it a shot, because it doesn't, you know, it doesn't knock you on your butt like you might think it would. But just very smooth all the way through. You know, and it's overall, man, I mean, it's got a great mouthfeel. I'm going to go ahead and give another sip.
Got some pecan and some cacao.
Yeah, it's very smooth, creamy mouthfeel to it. That bitterness kind of sticks around until that next sip. But overall, man, this is a perfect wintertime beer, and perfect for an evening dessert, washing down an evening dessert. And actually, that's a good point, because when you have something really sweet with this, it kind of balances out the sweetness of this drink and makes it not taste quite as sweet. So that could be a strategy if you're somebody looking into getting something like this. But very nice job, Commonwealth. You know, it probably won't be the last time I pick one of these up. I'm sure they're seasonal, so I might have to stock up a little bit. But yeah, cheers, Commonwealth, and I'm ready to hear about your Imperial Stout, sir.
Well, sir, that sounds fantastic. I want to try one of those sticky buns. Sounds delicious. Sounds almost like a I'm kind of getting the cinnamon roll kind of vibe, right? Is that what they were going for? The cinnamon roll, Cinnabun?
I think so. Yeah. I think some people call I feel like sticky buns actually might be a, like, maybe that's an actual dessert. Makes me think of like monkey bread. You ever had like monkey bread before?
Yeah, it's like the same thing, right?
Yeah, like those rolls you kind of like pull apart and they like have, you know.
Ah, you know what?
Sticky sweet things on them.
You know, Firestone Walker makes a beer called Sticky Monkey.
Oh.
And I think that's what they're going with. Although it could be something else. Sticky Monkey. It might have a couple of...
oh. PG.
Hey, whoa, hey, calm down. Anyway, but yeah, monkey bread or like a sticky bun. Maybe that's... I could never figure out what they were going with there, so... You've enlightened me now. I kind of get it, but
there we go.
Yeah, that looked delicious, man. That's awesome. So kind of right along there with you, I got another Imperial Milk Stout. We got Biggie S'mores right here. Biggie S'mores.
Nice.
Imperial Stout from Three Notched Brewing Company out of Charlotte, Virginia. Haven't been there, but I...
Charlottesville?
That's what I meant, Charlottesville. Haven't been there, but I definitely want to go sometime. And I don't know if you guys can tell, but it's basically a marshmallow sitting on some chocolate and graham cracker, but he's got a crown on. Biggie Smalls. Yeah. Biggie S'mores.
Looks like the Biggie Smalls.
Yeah.
That's a genius label design.
Dude, that's what I was thinking too. And yeah, so anyway... It's made with 80 boxes of honey-made graham crackers. That was like a...
What?
Yeah, that kind of... It's right on the can. It just stuck right out there with me. It's 8% ABV. So not, you know, certainly not going to knock me off my rocker like yours is. We're a little worried for you here. So yeah, you are by the end of the stream. Might have to go to bed early, cut the stream short. But 40 IBUs. It's a special roasted barley... gives it a rich chocolatey backing, and the lactose is supposed to give it a sweet, smooth finish. So we got, you know, some certainly roasted barley. Obviously, if they're making a stout, it's going to be roasted barley. And then, you know, just knowing the lactose in there, I think that's where they're getting the marshmallow kind of taste from, or at least that's what they were going for. So, and it also says on the side of the can, I found this very interesting. This is a very interesting sayings on this can. The crowned s'more hath decreed that the third Thursday of November shall from here on be known as Biggie S'mores Day.
Wow. That was impressive, man.
Yeah, man. So
I feel like we should clip that, send that to Three Notched, and they might use that in an ad.
Oh, dude. That would be sweet. Do it. all right, well, let's get into it, man. Let's crack this sucker open and see what we're working with. Okay, let me see if I can get the same kind of ASMR action.
Oh, yeah. A little slow crack there.
Not bad, huh?
That was pretty good.
All right. Okay. Well, we're starting off black as night. The head is forming. Pretty standard head there, I would say. Okay, Yeah, we got about a centimeter to a half inch of head still kind of forming there. Black as night, very, very black.
Yes.
Dark mocha tan latte kind of head on it. Let's give it a sniff. Yeah, okay, graham crackers. That's interesting. Never thought I'd smell graham crackers from a beer before. That's really cool. And now I'm getting like a little bit of milk. I don't know. That's so weird. So yeah, for some reason, it's like heavy on graham crackers, which I think is obvious since they put graham crackers in there. And milk, which is really odd. I've never smelled that before. Strange. Yeah. I'm a little bit taken aback by this. Okay, well, that's what I'm getting.
Sounds tasty already.
And that's all I'm getting really is just that. So I'm not getting like the roasted malts that I usually get when I sniff beer. So I don't know. Maybe there's something in the air that's messing with my smells. But let's go ahead and give it a sip real quick. Let's go for it.
Also, I just thought of a genius t-shirt idea. It says, I sniff beer.
Oh, that would be... Yeah, that's a good one, too. Oh, man, this is good. This is really good. It says 40 IBUs. All right, so, like... as it goes on, I'm getting the bitterness now. But, like, right up front, dude, was the chocolatey graham cracker, like, very sweet, very smooth, medium-bodied for sure. I think like midway through it got a little roasty for me, and then as it went on I got the bitterness, and then still now it's got I'm not really a huge fan of the aftertaste and like all of the bitterness that's in my mouth right now. Yeah. Let's give it another sip. Yeah, so still pretty sweet and smooth, certainly very smooth with the medium body there. Does definitely stick to your mouth, and the initial taste is sweet, sugary, chocolatey, and then you get roasty, and then it turns into just, you know, bitterness just lingering there. So the initial sips on this is fantastic. I want that every single time, but I could do without the IBUs on the end there, but you know, that's just me. I'm, you know, some other people don't mind that, but yeah, so I would say
that sounds good.
Yeah, this is a really good beer. Certainly a very nice experience. I like what they did with the can. Overall, this whole package just does it for me, I would say. Yeah. Being a stout lover, the only drawback here is the bitterness that I don't like as much, but you know, it adds character to it. It certainly takes you on a bit of a journey. When you grab this beer, you get to experience picking it up on the shelf at the store. You get to read a little bit of a story about it that kind of draws you in and wants you to, you know, pop this can open and see what's inside. And then you do, and you get the smells of graham crackers. What the fuck? And then, and then you sip it, and you're on your way. You get a lot of sweetness up front. You get the roasted on the middle end, and then bitterness on the back. So, very happy with that, man. Loved it.
It would only be better if you were sitting by a fire, eating an actual s'more,
ooh,
while listening to some B.I.G.
Ooh, yes. Yes, they like to call
complete package.
They call me Big Chocolate. That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, that's awesome, man. Well, I need to check that out. I mean, I think I can find Three Notched pretty easily around here.
Yeah, they got it at I know you have Wegmans, and I know you Total Wine. I bought this one at Total Wine, but I'm pretty darn sure they got it at Wegmans. So
I'm definitely gonna go pick one of those up. I've had another s'mores beer that I love, and I'm drawing a blank. I'm trying to think of it. There's another s'mores beer that I buy almost every time I see it.
Was it Farmhouse?
No.
I feel like if I threw it out there half the time, like I'll probably get it right.
I did buy some Farmhouse beer today, though. We went to Farmhouse today. Surprise.
Nice.
Yeah. So, but yeah, man, that sounds delicious. But I think it's about time we move into some UFC shenanigans.
I can't agree more, man. So I think you're going to start us off. I kind of saw some headlines this week that looked interesting, but go ahead and tell me about it. Let's see.
Yeah, let's talk about some drugs.
Whoa.
So to kick things off here, this whole segment's going to be about drugs. So just prepare yourself, guys. So TJ Dillashaw, to start us out with, time flies, man.
Drugs are bad.
Drugs are bad. Okay. time flies, and that's kind of solidified seeing that TJ Dillashaw is already eligible to fight again as of January. I think it was January 18th next year. So that's like a little more than a month away. It seems like literally just a few months ago that he was suspended and, his belt, taken away from him. But yeah, he was banned in 2019, if you guys aren't aware, for using EPO as a performance enhancing drug. And the interesting thing about this, like a lot of these stories you hear about where guys are flagged for performance enhancing drugs is like, they claim it's a tainted substance or a supplement or whatever. And, but he came out and basically admitted to knowingly taking it, while he was making a cut. He was making a cut down to 125, and essentially his body was giving out, just kind of shutting down. And so he decided to take that to kind of help with his cut. And that was before his fight with Cejudo at flyweight, I believe, which he lost anyways. But, he wants to come back. He wants to, get an immediate title fight when he comes back in January. And if not, he wants to get somebody in the top five. So, he's looking at potentially Cody Sanhagen. This is interesting. I think it's going to be exciting to see TJ Dillashaw back in the octagon. I think a lot of people were fans of TJ back in the day. It's one of those guys where you didn't expect to see that news of him getting busted for performance enhancing drugs. And, he's only 34. He's got a lot of his career left ahead of him. So I'm kind of excited to see him come back. He has a lot of rivalries, in the sport as well. Uriah Faber, and then, why can't I think of his name right
Cody
now?
Cody Garbrandt.
Yeah, there you go. Thank you, Cody Garbrandt. So yeah, he's looking to fight like early, I think March 2021. So how do you feel about TJ's return?
Yeah, so I don't know if I would agree with this was completely unexpected, because Cody Garbrandt was saying like a year or two before this even happened, like he was saying EPO, this guy's on EPO and he's just hiding it. And he was hiding it from everybody. And so I have a feeling that like he's been an abuser for a while now, or at least knew where to get it, or whatever it was. But I kind of have an idea that like this wasn't just a random event where he just needed it this one time. Like I feel like he's been abusing it and just got caught this time, and that's all there was to it. So
yeah,
I personally don't like TJ Dillashaw. I think he's a snake, just like Connor said. I don't know. I could say whatever, but it doesn't really matter. What matters is he's going to come back and he's going to fight somebody. And I would love to see him fight Corey Sanhagen. I don't think TJ's, the older crowd is kind of like pushed off to the side now. Like if you look at all the other divisions, like anybody that was like a thing, 3 or 4 years ago, isn't really a thing anymore. Can you name who can you name that was around like 3 or 4 years ago that was a big thing back then that is still doing it big today, like at the very top? Nobody. All the divisions.
John Jones.
But like even he's moving up to heavyweight and he's kind of out of the picture right now. But you're right. He's the only one. You can't name anybody else. They're all, have been overtaken by somebody new. And I think TJ is going to come back. He wasn't doing so well when he was still here. He lost the belt to Cejudo, right? So I think he's going to come back. If he fights Corey Sanhagen, I would take Corey Sanhagen on that. And, I definitely don't think he's going to beat Peter Yan.
Yeah. I mean, I think Corey Sanhagen is an interesting matchup for him. Definitely two different styles. Peter Yan also different styles, but I think Peter Yan has unbelievable power in those hands. And I'm not sure if, That would be an interesting fight for sure. I don't know that I you know, obviously Peter Yan and Aljo have a fight coming up. You know, it was pushed back. It was supposed to happen this month. You know, it was pushed back, I think, because Peter Yan was not ready. I think he had an injury or something like that, if I'm remembering correctly. But so that's pushed back into early next year, I believe. So I guess we see what happens there. But I think in some of these interviews, it's like TJ's going on like a press tour right now. He's doing a lot of interviews right now, kind of getting the hype built up around his return. But he's saying that he thinks he should get the, you know, the winner of that fight. So I don't know, man. I don't really see anybody stopping Piotr Jan personally. So I doubt Dana would give him that fight, to be honest. But then again, we go back to the same thing we always go back to, and it's a sport of politics. It's all about the money. TJ Dillashaw makes his return, immediate title fight, you know, UFC 257 or whatever it ends up being, you know, it's a pay-per-view event. It draws in the money. So you never know. It could definitely happen. But
I don't want it to, though.
Yeah. And to your point, I mean, you've got people who have not used performance enhancing drugs and who have been performing well in the division. And, you know, those guys, I feel like, deserve their shot more so than somebody who, you know, broke the rules. He was a rule breaker.
He's a drug user.
And just because he's popular, you know.
Yep.
I don't know.
Shame. So that's shame. Anyway.
I want to see the Cody go. I want to see a Cody Garbrandt run back, personally.
A third fight? I don't want to see that again.
The trilogy.
Because what if Cody Garbrandt looked. But if he gets knocked out again, Cody hasn't changed anything about his game.
Yeah. That TKO of, was it Pedro Munhoz? No,
it was
Rafael Sunsao, right?
Yeah, Sunsao, right.
But that was brutal.
But even in that fight, Cody still
Cody.
Yeah, he still has his hands down. He's not covering up, and
it worked out that time.
He has this. He's doing the same exact shit. So people that, you know, have solved that puzzle are just going to solve that puzzle again, I think. You know, Corey Sandhagen, I think, would be the great fight. And if TJ can beat Corey, then yeah, then he should go on and fight the winner of Peter and Aljamain. And personally, I think the Peter and Aljamain fight's going to be a lot of fun. I think it's going to be competitive. I think Aljamain's got a lot of skill. Certainly people doubted him when he fought Corey Sandhagen. But, you know, he was more explosive and stronger, so he just kind of ended that fight. I don't think that he's going to be able to do to Peter Yan what he did to Corey Sandhagen, because I think Peter Yan's like, you know, he's like shorter and a lot stronger.
Yeah.
I think
yeah.
Corey might, you know, be better technically. I think it's going to be a competitive fight. I'm pretty excited about it.
Yeah, definitely. And hopefully no PEDs involved in that matchup. But, you know, PEDs may be illegal, but there are some substances that are on the path of being legal, I hear.
Yeah. I hope it continues that way. So, yeah, right in the line of people getting suspended, you know, TJ got suspended for PEDs. People are now getting suspended for marijuana. Okay. Yeah, marijuana, you know, drugs are bad. But marijuana probably ain't so bad. Anyway, the fighters certainly don't think it's that bad. But the Nevada State Athletic Commission doesn't give a fuck what the fighters think. Okay? They say it's bad. It's a performance enhancer. You know, who knows? Schedule one federal. You know, what you going to do about it? You can't. You just can't. That's all there is to it. So it's not, maybe it's not performance enhancer, but that sucker's illegal. Anyway, you know, so I read, and I don't know all the truth behind this, but it said that worldwide cannabis is legal. Now, I don't know if that's necessarily true, like worldwide. I'm sure it's legal in a lot of places, but even though it's, you know, worldwide legalization, the athletic commissions in the United States are still strict with their regulations, but they're backed by the United States government. So I get it. But from a fighter's perspective, it's like, really, dude? Really? You know, I can go snort a line of cocaine and fight a couple days later, and you're not going to know about that, you know, but marijuana, you know, a month later, you're going to get me on. Anyway, I'm trying to be unbiased here. It's kind of tough. Here's an example. Nico Price, right? He got screwed in the news this week. I don't know if you saw it, but sanctions against him. He got a 6-month suspension along with an $8,500 fine, which really sets him back. He just had a fight in September with Donald Cerrone, which was a draw, and Nevada State Athletic Commission's reversing that, so it's going to be a no contest now. I mean, the $8,500 is pretty steep as it is. The 6 months on top of that, you're not going to have another fight. And then to make his record, I guess, I don't know if it like how it really affects the record to go from a draw to a no contest. I guess that's like, who really cares about that as much? But it's just a pain in the ass. I mean, and I guess before I open it up to you, let me give another example. Light heavyweight Jamala Hill. He was just recently handed a 6-month suspension, and he was interviewed and he was very, very vocal about his displeasure with how, he's being treated. Right. So he had a first round TKO win, during his fight in May against, Klitson Abreu. It's been overturned to a no contest as well, which, I mean, just in general, that sucks. He lost his win. It's a no contest now. But here's what he said. He said, I took the fight, I stopped smoking immediately, and somehow in their tests, it came back that my levels were too high, even after the UFC did an investigation, tested my old samples, and showed them the difference in the levels and everything. They still went ahead and decided to suspend me, fine me, put me through all this other bullshit. It's annoying as F. I mean, it just sucks, dude. What are your thoughts, man?
Yeah, this is a tricky situation. You know, honestly, like you said, trying to be non-biased here and look at it objectively, it is an illegal substance, regardless of if we think it should be or not, in many different states. But, you know, for fighters who live in states where it's legal, and then you offer them a short fight, short notice fight, and they take the fight. I mean, like, how does the regulation work there? There's got to be some fine print in there somewhere, right? I mean, number one, this guy's taking the fight on a short notice. He doesn't get a full training camp as it is. So I don't know. It's like, what? I mean, couldn't the same be applied for alcohol if that's the case? Like, you know.
Should be.
Obviously, if you've ever consumed cannabis, typically there are no lasting long-term effects, right? You know, it's like alcohol. You get drunk, you wake up the next morning. Well, even different than alcohol, you wake up the next morning, you don't feel bad afterwards, right?
Right.
There's no impact on your performance unless you were to use it immediately before, right? So in that case, I kind of disagree. I mean, I guess rules are rules, but like you said, an $8,500 fine and a 6-month suspension seems a little aggressive for something like that in those circumstances. Now you've got the Mike Tyson, Roy Jones Jr. fight that just happened this past weekend, or 2 weekends ago, whatever it was. And Mike Tyson has already come out and admitted to smoking weed right before the fight. So if that were the case, then I would definitely understand, you know, because there has not been a lot of research into the effects, you know, of marijuana, right? So we don't really know for sure how does it impact, you know, performance levels. Does it deaden some pain receptors? Does it make it harder to be knocked out? Whatever. It's possible, right? And it hasn't really been researched yet. But so that's kind of where I stand on that one. You know, it's definitely unfortunate with the Nico Price situation. But as far as legalization goes, I think we're about to talk about that now. Let's just preface this by saying I'm not interested in politics. I do not follow politics. I don't know how stuff works in politics. But what I'm reading and what I've read, seen on the news and things like that is that even though the,
let me do it. Here.
Yeah, you do it, man. The All representative, right. House of Representatives. There's a House, and there are people in the House who represent other people.
People in the house. People in the house.
You take it from here. They raise the roof today.
People in the house. The motherfucker. Anyway, in recent news, House of Representatives, the House of Representatives for the United States, voted to decriminalize cannabis at the federal level today. What does that mean? Doesn't mean anything. Doesn't really mean anything. All they did was they voted and they wanted to pass it. It was 228 to 164 vote. Members of Congress passed the Marijuana Opportunity Reinvestment and Expungement Act. It's called the MORE Act. You know, so it has to get through the Senate now. So here's an interesting fact. The House of Representatives is controlled mostly by Democrats and
Republicans.
Nope. House of Representatives is controlled mostly by Democrats and, I'm pretty sure. Yeah, it's mostly Democrats. And most of the Democratic Party is pro legalization of marijuana. Now, on the other side, it has to make it through the Senate. The Senate is Republican controlled.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Sorry. That's where I was confused.
It's a majority of Republicans there. And historically, Republicans have always voted this kind of stuff down. So the bill would, if it makes it through the Senate, basically, and it gets approved, the bill would remove weed from the Federal Register of Schedule I drugs. Okay. So it's not going to be a Schedule I drug anymore. That directly impacts what we're talking about in the UFC today. But beyond that, it's also going to allow people that have prior federal convictions back to 1971. Those convictions will be expunged, and it's going to make it easier for veterans to obtain medical access to cannabis nationwide. Now, I just wanted to throw that in there, but really the main important thing here is that it's no longer going to be a Schedule I drug. I don't want to get into any more of the politics, except for the fact that how awesome would it be for them to pass this for the fighters, right?
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
I think it just needs to happen. Unless there's more tests done, to your point about how there's not been a lot of tests done, and yeah, Mike Tyson took it beforehand and maybe does it, you know, get rid of some pain receptors. It does have some psychological effects while it's active on you. And it might make it harder, let's just say, for you to get knocked out. And there's a couple reasons for that beyond just the brain, you know, the psychoactive effects. You know, if your muscles are not tensing up, right, usually you can take the punches and roll with the punches, the whole roll with the punches thing, you know. Yeah. Rather than being tense, because when you're tense, everything's locked up, and if you get hit, you absorb it all and it goes straight to your brain, and that's how you get knocked out. Well, when you're loosey-goosey, you know, and you get hit and you can roll with it, it's distributing that blow over time and space and area, so you're not absorbing as much of it, and you know lessens the chances of you getting knocked out. So I think there's an argument there that yeah, it could technically be considered performance enhancing, but I think the reason why they're suspending folks right now is because of the Schedule I. So
yeah, I agree. And also, I'm not sure what would happen even if it does pass in the Senate. So the Senate is a place where there are a lot of chairs, and I think there's this one guy usually who stands in front of the people in the chairs, and he conducts a meeting of sorts. So anyways, you know, just to throw it out there, there is this one point that I kind of want to make, is that Mitch McConnell has said, you know, it's kind of a, he basically is saying it's bad timing to bring this up anyways. And I kind of agree with that, even though I am, you know, put it out there, I'm in favor of the decriminalization thing. But he makes a good point. There's a lot of other stuff going on in the world right now that requires our attention. And this is probably a little bit of a lower priority in the grand scheme of things. You know, when we're talking about COVID and all this stuff that's going on, like maybe we should focus on that a little bit more. But again, without getting into the politics, I don't know. There's other podcasts where you could talk about politics.
I could say more, but I agree. We should probably move away from it.
Yeah. To your point though, I think it would be good for the fighters, especially in those instances where they live and train and everything, in states where it's 100% legal. You can walk down the street, token up if you want to. They shouldn't be punished for using it and having it in their systems. But again, that's a lot of stuff involved in that. But you guys let us know your opinions. We want to hear your thoughts. So let us know. Instagram, YouTube, Twitter, wherever you want to find us, let us know. But I think it's time to move on. I got something else to rant about, man. I think I got some tech news to complain about.
All right. Yeah, dude. I know about it, but I want to hear more. Tell me.
Yeah, I'm about to give you the full breakdown. I think we're already like approaching our hour mark, so I'm going to try not to spend too much time on it. So if I go into full-blown rant mode, you just need to stop me, and you just need to say, all right, dude. I understand you're frustrated. Yeah, throw up the tea.
Throwing up the tea.
Take a sip of my beer here.
So you had some issues this week.
Yeah, so if you didn't hear, NVIDIA's latest GPU, the NVIDIA RTX 3060 Ti, not the highest-end model. Obviously, that trophy is held by the 3090. Launched the 3060 Ti launched Tuesday, at 6 a.m. Pacific time, 9 a.m. Eastern time. And I was ready and waiting, man. It's going to be a Christmas present. My parents, actually, I'm not ashamed to say this, are gracious enough that they were going to buy me a GPU for my computer. And this is a solid deal, man. If you guys didn't know about this, $400. $400 for a 3060 Ti. Solid deal, man. That's for the Founders Edition, you know, straight from NVIDIA. I was very excited about this. I've never caught a GPU launch, or never really cared anyways. I never had the need for a new GPU until recently. I was excited to catch this launch, and I was ready and waiting at my computer at 9 a.m. On Best Buy's website, also on NVIDIA's website. And here's what happened. So it was supposed to release at 9 o'clock. I'm waiting on NVIDIA's website. I'm waiting on Best Buy's website. So at 9 o'clock, actually it's like 9:05. NVIDIA's website updates and says check availability. Like it used to say coming soon. Now it says check availability. So I go and click check availability. It just links me to Best Buy. So I go to Best Buy. Best Buy is still coming soon. Fast forward like an hour and a half. Best Buy is still saying coming soon. Like, so they missed the release window for whatever reason. While I'm waiting on Best Buy to release it, I'm like checking the internet furiously, trying to figure out what's going on. I find out that it released first on Newegg.com, but sold out instantly. So I'm bummed out about that. I'm like, all right, well, I still got a chance with Best Buy. So I'm literally refreshing the screen like every 30 seconds and like just hovering my cursor over the add to cart button or the checkout button or whatever it is. And so finally the button turns yellow and I click the button really fast and it's like, oh, we have limited inventory. This is a very popular item. So here's what's going to happen. Every few minutes, this button will turn yellow. And when it turns yellow, you need to add this to your cart as quickly as possible and proceed to checkout as fast as you can because it's not reserved for you until you are in checkout. I'm like, okay. So I'm like waiting for the little loading thing to go away. And so literally every time it comes up and I have the option to, I add it to my cart. And so the whole time on Best Buy, it's been saying online only, right? So I'm like thinking I'm going to have this shipped to my house. I finally am able to add it to my cart. Somehow I'm able to add it to my cart. So my heart starts pounding. I'm just like, boom, 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 boom. I'm so excited. I got it in my cart. This is happening. But I get in my cart. It's like, oh, have you signed into Best Buy yet? Would you like to sign into your account? I'm like, you mother... No. So I have to like sign into my account. Can't remember my password. I'm like, oh gosh, this is the worst day of my life. So I have to like reset my password. Oh finally my God. Sign into my account. Fortunately, it was still in my cart. So I'm like, okay, I'm good. So now it's like I go to hit the checkout button. I put in the card information, hit the checkout button. And it's like, oh, please select a store. I'm like, what? Select a store? It's what? Online only. I'm so confused. I thought this was going to ship to my house. Turns out. And good on Best Buy for this. I think they are requiring that you pick it up from a store because I guess they don't want one bot to go buy all the GPUs and have them shipped to some warehouse in India or something. I'm like, fine. Now I'm trying to select stores that's available to every store I click. And by the way, I forgot to mention, my wife is also doing the same thing I'm doing on a different computer and different account. So I'm like, we have better chances if we both do it. And I'm also doing it on two computers. I'm doing it on my gaming computer. I'm doing it on my MacBook. I'm also looking at my phone. So I'm trying like four different computers to do this. And so every location I select, sorry, inventory has you know, depleted or whatever. And so now what it's telling me is, hey, you know, we are releasing inventory like periodically. So every few minutes, the stores would pop back up and you could select the stores again. And so I would select them again and inventory is disabled. And then I would get like, sorry, website's experiencing issues or and all these different error codes. And like, I tried, dude, this was a like 2 hour long process on Tuesday morning of me get this GPU while trying to work also. And like it, having to go to like, video conference conversations and like all this stuff. So the end of the story goes, I try this relentlessly for how many ever hours. And finally, Best Buy's website says out of stock completely. There's no more limited releases. It's just out of stock. So the miners and the scalpers out there of the world who are mining Bitcoin in their parents' basements have won yet again somehow. And it was a very disappointing day for me. So that was my story. The end.
Well, we're going to have to pour one out to all those clicks that have gone to the waste now. All those other individuals that have tried buying a new RTX and didn't get lucky. Dude, that just sucks, man. That just sucks so bad. Because I know exactly how you feel when like you really want something and it's brand new. And yeah. And like it just feels like the world is like fighting against you. It's like you're not allowed to have this. Yeah, dude. No, that's a terrible feeling.
Shame on me for actually thinking that this would actually happen. You know, I don't know how much truth there is to it, but like I was like searching everything, man. Like, and everything I could see on the internet, people are like, "Yeah, dude, don't even try." Like, the bots are gonna get it before you can ever even think about it.
Yeah,
and like I'm sure that's probably true. I was explaining to my wife how this works. Like, people build these supercomputers that are like have how many ever GPUs, you know, daisy chained together, just so they can solve equations and earn a Bitcoin.
Right.
Which fine, if that's what you want to do, that's cool. But you're also making it really hard for people who just want to play some video games to find a GPU. Yep. But there's probably bots programmed to like literally know the millisecond that inventory becomes available, add it to the cart instantly and buy it with before it's even like the page is even loaded.
No, there are actually, it's a thing. Like, programmers can do it. You can build algorithms where basically you don't have to use a web browser. You can build your own program that doesn't look at a web browser. You basically, it's like you build your own web browser essentially, and you're pointing it at the right places and it's looking at the right information that it needs to look at, and it sees the pings before Chrome sees the pings, you know, or whatever it may be, before it loads there, and they're able to pick up on it instantly and hit the buy button before anybody else. You know, even if it's just milliseconds, right? It could be milliseconds difference, but they're able to do it. They're able to beat you every single time.
Yeah.
Because it's a program. You're fighting against programs. So it's
right. And I mean in that regard. So I said Best Buy is requiring in-store pickup. I think that's a good idea. But there was no limit on the site, as far as I could tell, of how many you could buy. So they could be buying the entire stock in one go. And there was also no are you a human check. There was no CAPTCHA check. There was no check this box to say I'm not a robot. So I feel like Best Buy kind of on them. They didn't put the preventions in place. Like, it's just annoying.
Well, what I'm surprised about is when I bought my 2060 Super, I bought it retail from NVIDIA's website.
I don't know how you did that, dude. I really don't.
I bought it from their website. I don't understand. I don't get it. Like, why don't they just sell it from their website? Make it one per account.
Yeah.
You know? One per account, you know, whatever. And, do the bot control and all that stuff, but I don't think they really care about that. I personally think that they're just like, man, we're gonna make some money today, you know?
Yeah, instant money.
And if they make it so that the demand is super high, which is basically what they're doing, then they can charge more, and it doesn't matter what AMD charges anymore. They can charge the premium price because people want
they want NVIDIA. They don't want AMD as much. And that's, you know, but if you go to AMD, tell me your experience with them. I know you just bought one.
Yeah. So the bottom line is I needed a GPU. I'm currently using your old GPU. You were gracious enough to lend me your GPU when I built my computer. It's a 1060. GTX 1060 has been serving me very well, but I've noticed now playing Fallout 76 with you that I load in much slower than everyone, which I've helped a little bit by reinstalling the game on the SSD. So yep. That's definitely helped a bit. But it could be better. And I do have some issues with games crashing and, you know, programs lagging out, stuff like that. So it could be due in part to the GPU. So I started to look at, like, what's the equivalent, you know, if I can't buy NVIDIA's, like, literally every NVIDIA I looked at, it's out of stock, all the way back to, like, the 1080s, the 1070s, all of them out of stock. And if they're not out of stock, they're, like, $500 more than they should be. So I started looking at, like, what's the equivalent of AMD? And I don't know a lot about AMD cards, so I found a helpful guide. It's from logicalincrements.com. Shout out to those guys. Don't know anything about that site, honestly, but I found a cool chart that they have that shows like a side by side. And turns out the card that I ended up buying was the AMD Radeon RX 5700 XT. Whew, that's a mouthful. You know, without getting into all the clock speeds and all that stuff, it's essentially the equivalent of the 2060 Super, the NVIDIA 2060 Super. So pretty new. I mean, like, that's like last generation, essentially. I think the 2060 Super is actually what you're running as well. It will allow me to do, not that I can even actually do this, 1440p gaming at 60 frames a second. I actually have 1080p monitors, so it's going to be overpowered for my setup. But future proof, yeah, I guess. It can support up to 8K resolution. So 10 years from now, when I have an 8K monitor in front of me, I can play some games on that. And it'll be VR capable too if I ever decide to get into VR. So looking forward to that. I will have to upgrade my power supply though. So
You do have to buy a new power supply. Okay.
Yeah, I do still have to buy. It requires at least 600 watts. Mine's 550 right now, so I do need to upgrade that. So,
well,
fun stuff, man.
I'm sure you can find one for a good deal, but at least you got one. You got a solution, and I tell you, when I upgraded my graphics card, everything got better. Everything's running smoother. I mean, you know, the NVENC that basically you can use now. I mean, you could use it before with the 1060, but it's just so much better with this new GPU. Everything looks so much smoother. It's just like, it's like candy for your eyes, man. It's going to be great. So really happy.
The one thing I know we're trying to drag it on about this right now is I'm curious, will I need to reinstall any software? Because I do have, like, you know, moving from an NVIDIA GPU to an AMD GPU, I wonder if that's anything I'm going to have to do on the software side to transition.
Yeah, you definitely will. Research. Yep. You're going to have to uninstall your NVIDIA drivers, I'm sure, and install AMD drivers. That's just guaranteed.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Pretty cool, man. I'm excited about it. But, you know, moving along from that, I really quickly want to touch on Razer actually released something pretty cool yesterday for pre-order, but it's sold out already. You can't get it. Don't even get excited about it. I'm gonna make you excited about it, but don't even be excited. Just forget about it. Just forget I even said anything about it. Razer has announced the pre-order yesterday. The pre-order went live for their Tomahawk gaming desktop that they announced back in 2019 at CES, actually. This is an all-in-one gaming PC build. You buy it straight from them. It has the USP of this thing. The unique selling proposition is that it's using Intel's Nuke, NUC, which is essentially an all-in-one package that contains the CPU, it's an i9, RAM, 16 gigabytes, the 512 SSD, and 2 terabyte hard drive, and the motherboard. All of that in one package. It's a single component that you can take off and put a new one on in the future when they release the second generation of Nukes or whatever generation it is. You can take that old one off, put the new one on. You've just swapped all your components at one time. I would advise you guys to go check out the pictures of this thing. It looks really cool. The case they built for this looks sort of like their external GPUs that you can buy today. You can actually buy this case by itself. It's pretty reasonably priced, $179 for the Mini ITX, or I think it's $199 for the Mini ATX case. which is actually what I'm using, an ATX. Looks really awesome. It's got the RGB lights on it, but anyways, it's all built into one. It's got a lot of IO. It's got four USB-A ports, two USB-C Thunderbolt ports, two gigabit Ethernet ports, and a headphone jack. But the interesting thing here that I wanted to touch on is that it's got space for a full-size GPU. You can actually configure it with a 3080. You can buy this thing with a 3080 in it. Well, you can't. If you're listening to this episode, you cannot because it's sold out. I'm sorry. if you please forgive
Rude.
Me. I'm not sure on the price, honestly. The price is one thing. I've seen it reported differently. Some say that the price was $2,400, and I'm assuming that's probably without the GPU because it doesn't come stock with the GPU, but you can configure it to include a 3080, and that price, I believe, is around $3,700. So it's very expensive. This is not a cheap build whatsoever. But the convenience of being able to swap out all those components in at one go is pretty cool. And it just looks pretty awesome. So if you're somebody who just wants to buy that out of the box, you know, that's a good option for you. But going back to our scalpers and miners, they've probably already bought all of these just so they can get the 3080 out of them and threw the rest of it in the garbage. So
that's pretty cool. I think it's a nice build. It's certainly expensive. Good on them though. Only one PCIe slot. So if you're looking to add a sound card or a any kind of extra recording device, you won't be able to do that. But I don't think people really are using this for anything but just gaming. So
yeah, right.
Yeah, so that makes sense. We are approaching the hour, so I know we still got a little bit of news about video games. I got two little things I want to read about real quick, guys. And here we go. Wacom unveils a new VR pen built for the next creative future, is what they're saying it is. Wacom, I didn't know this, maybe you didn't either, but they're a leader in stylus pens and tablets for creative professionals, so really cool.
Yeah, I actually know a little bit about Wacom.
Oh, no, really? Wacom, yeah, okay.
Just being involved in the graphic design and a marketing world, they make you know, very accurate tablets, essentially, that a lot of graphic designers use to power like their Photoshop, Illustrator, all that stuff. I actually know a graphic designer who uses that solely, does not use a mouse, controls his entire computer with just a Wacom pen.
Nice. I've actually seen them then. Yeah, I've definitely seen them. I just haven't put two and two together, but they unveiled their Wacom VR pen, which is a pressure sensitive stylus controller for creative VR users. It allows users to not only draw in VR, but also with the company's fleet of professional pen tablets for traditional 2D drawing as well. So so it's basically, I don't know if you want to call it like cross platform, but I guess you could almost say it's VR, or you could use it on the tablet. So
nice.
Why not? You know, they'll probably start building it in so that like they're all like this. You could use them all in VR or not. So one of the major obstacles in creating a VR stylus is the lack of force feedback, right? So when you take pen to paper, it's force. There's force involved. When you're using a VR stylus, it's in the air and you're not pressing against anything. You just got to like create it somehow. So there's no force feedback. So what they've done is they've come up with a it's at the tip of my tongue. When a company owns something entirely, or they created
proprietary,
that's what I was looking for. Basically, so they developed their own proprietary way to get away with this. So basically they use a pressure sensitive button near the pen's tip. Creative professionals can alter their stroke thickness depending on the amount of force they use when gripping the pen. So it basically it creates the similar experience to drawing with a pen on paper, which I think is pretty cool. So the pen also features a few other buttons, including a trigger style grip, a rotator knob for digital tool selection, and a selector toggle on the knob itself. So like that's probably standard stuff, but this pen's jam packed. So the standalone tracking solution hasn't been revealed. But it's not like your typical tracking solution like you would find on a typical VR headset. So they also have developed a proprietary tracking solution that has not been disclosed yet. So
interesting.
Yeah, that's kind of throwing people for a loop for how they're going to do this. The CEO, I think I'm saying this right, Nobu Aide is his name, He said this, the VR Pen is designed to work with major head-mounted displays in the market. So the whole reason why they went with this standalone tracking solution was so that it wasn't just dependent on, let's say, Oculus's tracking solution. So it would only work with Oculus. They made it so that it'll work with all different headsets so that they could reach a wider market, which I think is great. And then Nobu also said, unlike any other pen which Wacom created before, it will be our transition point into the next creative future. So they're taking this as like, this is the future. This is the creative future here. These pens will work 2D. They'll work in the VR environment. And I think they're, you know, they're trying to get ahead of the game here. So just a little bit more. At the moment, it appears Wacom is still shopping around for partners. And if you're interested, if you're a professional user, they're asking you to contact them directly via email at WacomVRPen@Wacom.com. So go ahead and check that out. We're going to post a link below. Just a short 2-minute video showing it off a little bit. So make sure to check out the description if you want to watch that video. That's it. That's it, man.
Awesome. This is cool. Yeah, I'm trying to remember the name. I feel like such an idiot for not remembering the name of it. But the, you know, usually when you have like room scale VR, you have to use those. Dude, what are they called? I want to say pyramid for some reason, but I know that's not it. It's like essentially you have to put it in the corners of your room. And it's like kind of like the tracking bounds for your VR headset.
They're like lighthouses, basically.
Lighthouses. Thank you. Jeez. Gosh, brain. Come on.
Sorry.
Yeah, the lighthouses. So I'd imagine it would need something like that to give you some sense of space. But then again, like these VR headsets are getting so much better at just being able to map.
Well, the new ones, you don't need the lighthouses anymore. They basically put 6 cameras on them.
Yeah.
Two looking up, 2 looking down, 2 looking out to the sides. And they give you spatial tracking, so you can actually, rather than like you like just like turning around and it turns around, like you can actually move throughout your space, and you move in the space in the VR headset, which is fucking awesome. It's just really cool. I'm swearing a lot tonight. I don't know why.
How dare you?
Yeah, I don't know.
This
I got
is
one
a
more
family show.
You know what, family? Go anyway.
no, this is cool, dude. Again, I can't put together thoughts right now. It's just been a crazy week. But I remember when, you know, the Rift and things first started coming out, there was one particular app that allowed people to do this sort of thing where you could draw and create 3D objects in space. Drawing a blank on what the name of it was, but this seems like I could see this being really cool for like 3D animators and even like architects, almost like being able to craft an object in space and walk around it. It's like, like we're talking about like Jarvis level stuff almost. When you think about like Iron Man, he's like pinching and pulling and resizing objects and like,
dude, when I come down there, I'll bring my VR headset and I'll plug it in for you. You can do it. It's built into Oculus's software already, where you can draw things, build things, create things. Like, I was playing around and, like when you go to like load in, you have like your home basically, which is like legit like a home. It looks like a home, and you can choose which one you want. And like one creator basically recreated the bar scene on Tatooine from Star Wars.
Nice, nice.
Yeah, so you walk into the bar and like there's aliens and stuff and like guys playing. Yeah, so it was really cool. Hey, we're coming up. We've already hit our hour, so I want to go ahead and talk about this last little bit of news about video games, and then we can close it out. What do you say?
Let's do it.
All right. 1 second. All right, guys. What?
Tilt Brush. That's what I was trying to think of.
Tilt Brush. Oh, yeah. Tilt Brush. Okay. I do remember that. I recall it. All right. So, yeah, guys. PAX, which I didn't realize this until this year. Penny Arcade. I didn't know that it was like Penny Arcade. I didn't even know what Penny Arcade was, dude. Penny Arcade does like comic strips and stuff. Like,
actually, Penny Arcade, I want to say, is 100% illustrated on Wacom tablets, or it could be Surface tablets. But
I wouldn't doubt it.
Fact check me.
No shit. I've been streaming Fallout, and I read a comic strip for like Fallout 77, is like a vault or whatever that Penny Arcade did when Fallout 4 came out. So I read that and I was like, that's how I figured out about this. Penny Arcade did this like comic strip for Fallout. And then I started looking at Penny Arcade's website and I was like, oh, they're PAX. Okay. It's like the Penny Arcade Expo where they talk about games and stuff. So I had no idea that it was like on that scale. But anyway, they've announced some optimistic dates for 2021 events, some live dates with people and things that you can touch and see and feel. So they came out this week, and I'm going to quote them real quick. They said, let's just say the quiet part out loud. If COVID-19 remains a major barrier to safely gathering at one of our shows, we won't do it, or we will take it virtual. As much as we miss, even crave the togetherness and magic of a PAX, we will not put attendees, exhibitors, or our guests at risk for the sake of an event if things are up, if things aren't on the up and up. So that's what they went ahead and said. And with that, they gave a tentative schedule. So here you go. PAX East, June 3rd through the 6th, 2021. PAX West, September 3rd through the 6th, 2021. So those are the only two that have really been announced, the live ones. So, PAX Australia, they say will be announced in the next coming weeks. PAX Unplugged will take place in December 10th through the 12th, 2021. I'm fairly optimistic, certainly, that West and Unplugged will happen. I'm not sure about East. I think that might be a little bit earlier. PAX South will not be happening in 2021. That'll return in 2022. And interesting to point out as well, in previous years, they've been held in March or April, right? So they're moving it to June, which basically puts it around the same time as E3, which is typically June 15th to the 17th. I'm sorry, not typically. E3 is actually announced that it's tentatively June 15th through the 12th through the 17th. So like, they're just like right back to back. And that's a little bit scary because you're going to have people going to PAX and then straight up they're going to go to E3 right after, or are you going to lose, you know, your market there, or, you know, what's the game plan? I don't understand that, but I think it's really optimistic, and I think it'd be awesome to see some of this coming back because, you know, you always get to learn about the cool shit when PAX and E3 is around, which gets me excited.
Yeah, definitely. I just want to see events. I mean, obviously, after the holiday you see all the spike and everything, but damn it, dude, I'm so ready to get back to like events happening. To be honest though, I didn't mind virtual events this year. Like, I think virtual events actually were kind of cool. Even people on my team and my full-time job, I have a couple of designers, were able to attend I can't think of the name of the show right now, but Adobe, you know, the people who make Photoshop, Illustrator, all that, their event that they hold every year was virtual this year, and because it was virtual, it was 100% free. So the designers got to attend these free sessions that were led by like celebrities, by like leaders in the space. It was 100% free for them to attend these sessions and learn, man. It's super cool. Obviously I know there's a business there, so for people and for indie game developers that you would be showcasing at PAX, as long as they have the opportunity to still showcase, even virtually, honestly, man, it might be like less cost prohibitive for them to do so virtually. And if there's more people attending because it is virtual, they might have a better exposure and reach by being virtual. But I know there's a lot to be said about actually going and experiencing something. I've never personally been to an event like that, but I'm sure there's something to be said about actually being there in person.
There's winners and losers and everything, of course. So, you know, some people benefit, some people don't. It is what it is. But, I just want to get back to normal, you know?
Yeah, obviously something like CES, you kind of need a physical. Absolutely. You need a physical event.
Certainly, yeah, for stuff like that, because it's a lot of hardware and whatnot. But, you know, PAX, I mean, you can get away with, because, like, you're just showing off games and stuff. And it's like, you could do that virtually. They did a great thing this year. They made all these demos for free. You could get all these demos. And it was awesome. And, you know, they should probably just do it every year. I think what this year really proved is people are malleable, and, you know, they can change under pressure and get things done when they need to. And I just love the fact that, you know, we have all this technology around us now. I don't have to leave my house, dude. People fucking bring me food. They bring me all the stuff I need. I can just sit here and work and like make money. And it's like, what the fuck, man? This is weird, right?
It's like Wall-E. It's the beginning of Wall-E.
Yeah.
Where we're just going to be sliding down like a thing.
Where's my soda? Hold on.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome. But yeah, I agree, man. It's kind of proved. It's opened up a whole, here we go, getting to the COVID talk. But it's opened up a whole world of possibilities. Like, I don't know. Yeah. We're going to go back to a world where I can't drive up and you bring my freaking pizza outside and put it in my car window and I drive away? What do you mean I have to walk in your store?
How dare you?
What is this, 2019?
How dare you? I'm going to roll my window half down. Anyway, that's it, man. That's it, right? We got nothing else. We're at an hour and 10. I think we had a nice podcast this time.
Yeah, it's been a lot of fun.
This time, what am I saying? They're always nice, right?
Yeah. Good to get back into the swing of things. And if you stuck around this long, thank you so much. We've got some exciting stuff coming up. I think we've got another couple of guests on the horizon. Probably another brewery coming out pretty soon. Can't wait to talk to them. But yeah, if you guys know anybody who's interesting and coming on our show is in the world of beer, tech, MMA, video games, let us know. Send them our way. And you know, I also want to say stay tuned. We've got some potential news where we might be partnering up with some other podcasters to release a fundraising event. I'm just trying to wait on some details to be ironed out around that. Turns out it's harder to do a fundraiser than you might imagine. But so keep your ears and eyes peeled for that. But yeah, I think other than that, man, I feel like it's time to wrap it up.
Yeah, so everybody please like and subscribe on YouTube and also subscribe on your favorite podcast player. And if you really want to help us grow, make sure to share this episode with a friend. A couple quick reminders. I don't have any quick reminders. What am I saying? That was it.
Yeah, that's it, man. Imperial Stouts for the win. You guys let us know what you're drinking. Give us some recommendations. And also, real quick, shout out to Max Allotment Podcast. I'm not sure, Reese, if you saw this on Instagram. Max Allotment Podcast shared on their Instagram page. You know, their story. In their story, they did like a, I guess Spotify at the end of the year does like a Spotify, they're doing like a Spotify Wrapped or something like that. It tells you, you know, what your top podcast or top you listen to music was for 2020. They put out a post on their page saying they're showing their top podcasts listened to for 2020. And we were number 2 or 3, I think, for those guys. Wow. So I appreciate them listening, number one, and then also number two for sharing. So make sure you go check out Max Allotment Podcast. They are out there on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, all the places. They also review beers. I think their show is primarily about beer reviews. And go give those guys a listen. Really good dudes.
That's awesome. That's really great news. That everything that happened this week, forget about it. Didn't get your GPU, forget about it.
Yeah, man,
whatever.
Keep
man
on keeping on. That's life's good a shit. Garden dig it
Joe dig Dirt. It love it, man, love it. You're gonna see my speaking to my mic. Here's my backup mic.
What?
That's from, it's just another Joe Dirt quote.
Oh, you know, I remember that one. I'm actually a huge Joe Dirt fan. I don't remember that one.
He's talking to Kid Rock and he's like, oh yeah, how much you speaking to my mic? I got my backup mic right here.
I remember the thunder and lightning. Or wait, was this?
No, it's his mic. He says his mic, dude.
Hold on. What was the other quote?
It puts lotion on its skin.
Well, yeah, of course that one.
Oh, okay.
Oh, I can't say the one that he says in the movie. It's not PC anymore. You can say it after the stream.
Okay. But,
yeah. Anyways, maybe the version you're talking about is the edited version of what I'm thinking about.
Really?
Anyways, but yeah, let's talk about it after the show.
Would they edit that though? Anyway, all right.
No, your version that you just said about the mic, I think, is edited of what I'm about to tell you after we end this episode. This has been a fun episode, guys. I actually kind of like this like rambling end segment. It's kind of like bonus content.
Yeah, you know, if you stuck around this long, you get to see us goofing off. So thanks for sticking around. Appreciate it.
Yeah. All right. See you guys next week.
Peace.